Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Good morning. Today is Monday, January 11th, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Our top stories today. Tech tunes in to CES 2021. Free speech, WhatsApp exodus, and hashtag Twitter purge. And how many stimulus checks ended up in the stock market? Leading today's news. The Consumer Electronics Show kicks off today, the big industry event for consumer technology companies that's normally held in Las Vegas. The show is always full of dazzling displays and latest innovations, but it will take place virtually this year due to the coronavirus pandemic. While over 170,000 attendees interacted with more than 4,500 exhibitors in 2020, this year's program will feature around 2,000 vendors. The cost is also low for exhibitors, with most paying $1,200 to display their wares and without the inflated rates of staying and setting up shop in Las Vegas. What are organizers doing to recreate the experience? There's going to be a big fight for attention in cyberspace, so CES has introduced a sort of avatar with which attendees can have a digital presence. They'll be able to virtually walk around a room full of startups, where they can check in to interactive portals referred to as digital activations, i.e., WebEx-style conferences where they can quickly speak to people and see material. They will also feature a wide variety of keynotes and roundtable talks, a mainstay of CES for decades. Companies are going to be pitching a lot of tech to help people cope with pandemic life. Be on the lookout for high-tech masks, smart air purifiers, and devices to make working from home easier, while home entertainment vendors will be pitching the latest TVs, QLED, micro-LED, 4K and 8K, to a public that is still stuck in the living room. There are also set to be a number of announcements from the EV space, blockchain, and 5G arena. Thought bubble. It'll be interesting to see what lessons can be learned from this year's conference that become applicable in a post-vaccine world over the next 5 to 10 years. This could be the year CES makes demonstrable changes that have an impact on conferences to come. The weekend began with Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat permanently banning and silencing President Trump, but the actions quickly spread across the communication and tech space. The top app stores from Apple and Google, as well as Amazon's web hosting service, kicked out Parler, a free speech platform that has grown in popularity among conservatives and to which many banned users were expected to emigrate. Why are tech companies taking action now? The firm cited risks of violence and repeated and severe violations of their policies following the storming of Capitol Hill, which led to 5 deaths, including 1 police officer. They might also be foreseeing scrutiny risks. If there was a follow-up to the violence, the social media companies could be held responsible by the incoming Biden administration. Bigger picture. While the measures taken are legal, private firms aren't subject to the First Amendment. They highlight more starkly than ever the company's influence over public speech and online conversation. Many of the big tech giants own the keys to the pipes and plumbing of the internet, and without those services, many users may be forced to find other providers that will see less interaction among a broad variety of views. That could force many users into like-minded echo chambers that could reinforce their own beliefs and further polarize the political landscape. But the alternative of no moderation could be just as scary. Other happenings. Millions of users have jumped to Telegram and Signal in the past week, according to data analytics firm Sensor Tower, as WhatsApp told users they must share sensitive personal data with Facebook or have their accounts closed. Many on Twitter are also complaining of a hashtag Twitter purge that deleted scores of followers, though the company called it a routine audit, while Stripe stopped processing payments for the Trump campaign website and Shopify pulled Trump stores from its platform. Direct payments have provided a financial lifeline to millions of Americans, but for others, they represent an opportunity to boost their savings. That is thanks to the $2.3 trillion CARES Act and the latest $908 billion stimulus bill, which provided $1,200 and $600 to all Americans making under $75,000, regardless of their employment and financial situation. In fact, securities trading was among the most common uses across nearly every income bracket for the government stimulus checks issued in May, according to software and data aggregation company InvestNet Yodlee. For many consumers, trading was the second or third most common use for the funds, behind only increasing savings and cash withdrawals. In fact, Americans that earned between $35,000 and $75,000 annually traded stocks about 90% more than the week prior to receiving their stimulus check. Quote, "Where are the Robin Hoodies going to invest their newfound wealth?" asked Mark Tepper, president and CEO of Strategic Wealth Partners. "Of course they're going to buy a tenth share of Tesla. Of course they're going to buy a sliver of Bitcoin." The trend also illustrates how the fallout from the pandemic is dividing the U.S. economy. Claims for unemployment benefits averaged 1.45 million a week last year, compared with about 220,000 in 2019, while at the same time the percentage of disposable income that households manage to stash away has increased, property prices have jumped, and the stock market is soaring. "I would rather support those that do not have a job. We don't need the $1,200 check to everybody anymore because a lot of those people have now found work," Kevin O'Leary, chairman of O'Shares ETFs and Shark Tank Investors, said before the latest coronavirus aid package was passed by Congress. "I would prefer to have a transitional support unemployment for those that are leaving industries and sectors that are out of favor, like movie theaters, airlines, cruise ships, and certain restaurants that are never going to come back. Go deeper. There might be more direct payments in sight." Stocks ended at all-time highs on Friday after President-elect Joe Biden said he was assembling a multi-trillion-dollar relief package that would boost stimulus payments for Americans to $2,000. Nearly $170 billion was wiped off the cryptocurrency market in 24 hours, as Bitcoin slumped as much as 20% to $34,130 after a huge rally and some profit-taking from investors. Other cryptocurrencies are selling off as well. Ripple is down 19.1%, Ethereum down 17.2%, Bitcoin Cash down 19.2%, and Litecoin down 20.5%. Signs in Bitcoin's technical chart point to a 25 to 30% sell-off that's likely to hit early in the new year, Miller Tabak chief market strategist Matt Moley told CNBC on Thursday. Quote, "There's no question it's been a melt-up, and it could last a little bit longer. I think on a short-term basis it could continue a little bit longer, and I'm very bullish on it on a very long-term basis. But intermediate term, I'm a lot more concerned than I think a lot of other people. Part of the problem is the market's excess liquidity. Over the summer, the sideline money fueled the mega-cap tech rally, but now that those stocks have stabilized, it's driving Bitcoin." Point of view. The same argument is taking place in high-flying shares and the equities market in general. The NASDAQ from late 1998 to early 2000 went up over 200%. Now we're up almost 100%, and we may very well be on that same track, longtime bull Edward Yardeni said Friday. "Everything I'm looking at points to a melt-up. It's just part of the bull market and everything. It's very important whether you're in or not in Bitcoin to just stare at the chart and realize when it's going straight up. It's certainly a sign of exuberance, of speculative excess." The China crackdown seen on Wall Street is extending to the Far East, where Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and Morgan Stanley said they will delist 500 Hong Kong-listed structured products linked to China Mobile, China Telecom, and China Unicom, as well as local indexes including the Hang Seng Index. Last week, the Office of Foreign Assets Control clarified a November order from President Trump that banned Americans from investing in Chinese companies that the U.S. considers to have links with China's military. Global index providers MSCI, FTSE Russell, and S&P Dow Jones indices already said they would also cut the three Chinese telco giants from benchmarks, wiping a combined $5.6 billion off the value of their Hong Kong-traded shares on Friday. After some flip-flopping, the New York Stock Exchange also announced it would delist the three firms' U.S.-traded American depository receipts starting today. What happens if you own a share of a Chinese company that gets delisted? Removal of a stock from a major exchange doesn't mean investors can't trade it, but it comes with greater risk. Shares go over-the-counter, meaning they're outside the system of major financial institutions and cannot guarantee sellers will quickly find a buyer without losing money. Outlook. It's still unclear how President-elect Joe Biden will handle financial flows and relations with China. A trade war commenced by President Trump just over 2 years ago has spilled into tech and finance, and last month he signed a law that would kick Chinese companies off American exchanges if they have failed to comply with the U.S. Public Accounting Oversight Board's audits for 3 years in a row. As of 6:20 a.m. today, U.S. futures, crude oil, and Bitcoin are all set to open in the red, with gold slightly up. On today's economic calendar, results of the $58 billion 3-year note auction are out at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.